Since the election, the American media have been following the so-called Russia affair with near obsession. Every step taken by Russia's ambassador Sergei Kislyak, tracked. Every Russian, a potential Kremlin agent. Every move by Putin, a strategic play in the great game. Since the recent meeting between Trump and Putin, there have been a slew of memes referencing the Netflix drama House of Cards. In that series, Russian President Viktor Petrov gives off an unmistakable whiff of Russian dominance.
Have you ever been in Alada?
Lada? No, I haven't.
No? No, it's the worst car ever built. Tiny little thing. Your head would hit the ceiling when you hit a pothole. It was a coffin on wheels. But then, after the fall, we got the Lexus. So much room. First time I f***ed my ex-wife in a Lexus. You can never do that in a Lada. No space. You see, Mr. President, I want the Lexus. And you're trying to sell me a Lada.
And that is exactly how Putin wants to present himself, and that's how he wants to see himself. But that doesn't mean necessarily that it's true.
Alexei Kovalyov created the Russian website The Noodle Remover to expose the cock and ball in Russia's state media. But lately, he sees some disturbing parallels in the American press, an abundance of stories that so aggrandize Putin that a staffer at the propagandistic Russia Today called it Christmas in July.
Putin is not a strategist. He is, at best, a very skilled tactician. But his entire domestic and foreign policy is very reactive. The best he can do in reacting to challenges put in front of him is punishing Russians for something the American leaders have done, as retaliation for a bill passed by the US Congress.
Putin responded by restricting the American adoption of Russian children. This was to strike a blow against Americans. You say it's really striking a blow against Russians.
Yeah, there's a Russian expression coming from the early revolution years, to strike your own, to instill fear in your enemies.
Someone bullies you and you turn around and you smack your sister in the face.
Yeah, exactly. Putin himself and his administration and his propaganda machine are at their core extremely insecure.
Why? It seems that they're highly capable of disrupting democracies all around the world.
No, that's really not the case, because they are only able of disrupting democracies that are next door to Russia and that have a sizable Russian population, where they can claim they are protecting the interests of the ethnic Russians. You have this assumption that Putin has some sort of universally effective army of trolls and hackers and propagandists. But if you look at what we see on the ground in Russia, why doesn't Putin ever employ this universally effective army of hackers and trolls in his own hometown of St. Petersburg?
I just assumed he did.
Well, he did try to, but both him and his party have consistently failed to secure a landslide victory in his own hometown.
Okay, so this Underwood meme that I opened with offers, you think, the classic American view of Putin and sort of lays out exactly what's wrong with the American view.
The thing is that this fictional image of Putin gives him far too much credit. He doesn't even have that much influence at home. When they tried to fix the elections last time, there were historically biggest protests on the streets of Moscow and all the major Russian cities.
Are you saying the polls are rigged too, that say that a huge majority of Russians across the country support him?
Russia has three major pollsters. Two are state-owned. There is also another pollster, also owned actually by Putin's own security apparatus, to report back to Putin what people really think about him.
Do we know what his own private security pollsters actually say?
No, because nobody has access to those figures.
Can you tell me what some of the bad habits are of the American press that you've noticed when covering Putin?
You have these really persisting tropes Which is really misleading, like labeling any Russian diplomat or journalist for a state-funded publication as some sort of subversive agent in the United States.
Most people who work for state-owned businesses or work in Russian embassies, aren't they extensions of the Russian government?
Not at all. This is the problem. I know a lot of people in DC bureaus working for the Russian state publications, and they're extremely professional and sound journalists. There is a very limited number of people who can be described as Putin-linked.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a couple of dozen people who used to be in the same judo club.
So another trope you've talked about is the obsessive tracking of Kislyak.
If you look up the former U.S. ambassador to Russia, Michael Makvol, you'll find a lot of coverage on how he used to be persistently harassed by the Kremlin.
Yeah, Michael McFaul, who was Obama's ambassador to Russia, was accused of virtually every bad thing that happened to Russia in that period.
And that is exactly what is happening to the Russian ambassador to the United States.
You've also suggested that the American media are very focused on connecting the dots between various Russia-connected elements in order to create an ironclad conspiracy.
Yes, and that is a very Putin thing to do. To blame your failures on an external malicious force. This is exactly what Putin himself did in 2011 when he blamed the mass protests on Hillary Clinton's interference in Russian elections.
It's interesting. You've suggested that this coverage that overplays Putin's strategic malevolence and all of that really plays into Putin's own desires to be praised.
Well, domestically at least, very much so. What I'm seeing here in Moscow, and I'm watching the Russian state media all the time, is that Putin really has a resurgence on the state media as this massively influential world leader.
And didn't Putin actually hire a PR firm with the goal of getting a positive op-ed in the Times?
Yes, Putin's office hired a K Street firm, Ketchum, to whitewash his image. They did place an op-ed signed by Vladimir Putin in the New York Times, The Guardian, and the Huffington Post, of all places. Look at our wise, dear leader, who is so influential that the New York Times publishes his op-eds.
But you know, this week, the kind of op-eds we've seen, not by Putin, suggests that he is incredibly strong. One is called Putin Meets His Progeny. It doesn't seem as if he has to pay for the kind of PR that suggests he's very powerful.
This whole notion of Putin being so incredibly, almost magically prescient that he somehow, back in 2015, way before Donald Trump announced his run for the president, invested all the time and effort and strategy into electing Donald Trump as this Russian puppet president of the United States. No. Everything I've learned about my own country after 1.5 decades of covering it tells me that Putin is really not the 3D chess grandmaster strategist that he's portrayed to be in the American media. And it doesn't do anyone any good by portraying him as he wants to be seen.
Alexei, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Brooke.
Alexei Kovalyov, formerly news editor for the Moscow Times, is also founder and editor of the website The Noodle Remover.
Coming up, another story about a fraud, fictitious voter fraud, and the commission created to prove it exists.
This is On the Media.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.